Hello, Cass, Penny, got some people with us on Zoom this morning. I'm Francis, my privilege to speak from the epistle today, from 1 John. And this is a letter from the beloved. You can't hear. How's that? Okay, thank you. Right up there. Thank you. Feedback is welcome. So this is a letter from the beloved, the one who had leaned on Jesus at the Last Supper, the one that Jesus entrusted his mother to. And it's about love. He says some amazing things, and I want to walk through them and draw us into them. So next screen, please. He starts off, love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Knowledge is connected with love. Straight off, it's a profound thing to say. As a theologian, it's very challenging. If we love, we know God and live out of him. If we love, we know God and live out of him. Next screen, please. And because John does not mind driving a point home, you know, John is very repetitive. Those who like short scriptures, don't read John, because he'll say it again and again and again. So that happens here. And he turns it around and even defines God. He defines God. He goes a step beyond Moses. And who heard God say, I am? John has the temerity, the audacity to define God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. He packs a lot into a few words. He said it positively. He said it negatively. And then just really lands on it by saying, well, God is love. If you haven't got love, what have you got? Nothing. Paul would say that as well, wouldn't he, in 1 Corinthians 13. And then he relates all this to God in Jesus Christ. Set next screen, please. Sent to atone for us as Savior of the world. So John relates it to the big gospel narrative. God in human history, Jesus Christ. We love because he first loved us. So God is love. God has come to us in Christ, loved us, and from that we are empowered, enabled, inspired, charged to love, thereby resonating with the very being of God, showing that we might know something about the great I am. Then later in this passage, to anyone who's running for cover at this point, you know, the Bush theologian who says, yes, but what about excuse clause number 500, subsection C? Anyone doubting his words, he gets really serious. Now, remember, this is John the nice guy. Okay, writing about love. It's all been very, very palatable until now. So I'm next screen, please. It's up there, yeah, from verse 20. And he doesn't pull any punches. To those who say, I love God and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. There's nowhere to hide, is there? Case closed. Isn't scripture amazing? So clear. So powerful. I'm a preacher and a teacher, so I'm going to work now. Let's look at this encouragement to love. And I just want to do it quickly with three questions. Next screen. Yeah, there we are. What, how, and why? What, how, and why? What is this love? What are we talking about? What is God being defined as? And it comes back to that lovely Greek word, agape. Agape. Now, you've heard sermons on love since you were knee-high. You know that, you know, there are five or so words in Greek to define love, and us English speakers only have one. And we apply it to everything on the scale from 1 to 10. You know, what we want for breakfast and what we're prepared to die for. I love it. Okay? English has a lot going for it, but not in the area of emotions or matters of the heart. It's better to speak French. But we can't do that this morning. So, agape, what are we talking about? Very simple, self-giving love. Self-giving to the point of sacrificial. That's the essence of it. It's the love that flows in God's gift of life and that drove Jesus in his mission. Love at cost. Never cheap, because it's giving yourself. We have a wooden cross at the back of the church. That is the ultimate. That's a self-giving for us. That's agape. And in the Greek, I went and checked the scriptures just to make really sure it's there every time. Agape love. So when I speak about it in English, I qualify it with that Greek preface just to make sure we know that's the sort of love we're talking about. It's the love which leads you to give of yourself even at cost for another. Now, reading John, a letter to a church, is loving at cost a normal part of life here? Just park that question. Is that normal? Loving at cost. The mind needs to have a vision for how we do this. So I've been talking about what it is. Okay, practical people, how do we do this? God provides the vision. It's in Christ. For God so loves the world that he gave his son. That's the whole gospel story. That's the picture of God. That's Christ. God's self-giving for us. But how might we do that? To translate a Dutch saying, how do we give it hands and feet? How do we make it practical? Ah, yes. 1992, a book came out that I have found really helpful. It's a paperback written in America, very accessible and, of course, simple. Five Love Languages. Has anyone read it or is familiar with it? Yeah, a few hands. It's one of those, you know, pastoral standards. Gary Chapman. I'm going to go through it. It's geared for couples. And I must say the graphic up there is a bit Barbie-ish. You know, it's box of fluffy ducks and a bit pink and all that sort of thing. I was looking for a bit more muscular graphic, but I couldn't find it, you know, such as marketing. It's geared for couples, but it applies more widely, and I've referred to it a lot over the years. And as with anything, it needs adaption to local context and culture. Because the way Eskimos love, or you know, Nigerians love, or Kiwis love, there could be little variations in the plot. Now, what Chapman points out is that we are all, as it were, individually conditioned to give love and to receive love in different ways. But there are five main ways it happens. And it's really valuable to know how you're set up, what you're primed to do, and what you really appreciate. And I look at this through spiritual eyes, and it just meshes beautifully with spiritual gifting. It's the love that God has put in you. God has poured his spirit into our hearts, and how that flows, how that is expressed. And conversely, how we are, the sort of people we are, what we most appreciate. So I'm just going to zip through those five ways very quickly of communicating love. And I want you to just sit there and think, well, is that me? Am I there? If you're not there, that's okay. That's not you. And what inspires and what speaks? So don't expect everything to light up. It doesn't need to. So first of all, words of affirmation is how it's put. It's simply, this is praise, compliments, recognition, positive stuff, stroking through talk. Now, it's simply talk conveying the value of a person. Praise, another sermon, praise is simply declaring the goodness, and declaring the goodness of another person, who they are and what they do. I mean, simply saying, thank you, good job, is 1 out of 10. It puts you on the scale. Is this in you to give? Does this flow out of you? And on the other side, is this something you really appreciate? You know, someone comes up and says, gosh, you're well turned out today. I really love what you're wearing. Do you find yourself just kind of, oh, okay. This isn't silly. This isn't selfish. This isn't immature. This is a reflection on what it is to be a person, you know? So talk, affirming words. Second thing, acts of service, simply doing something for another. Can I help you with that? Coming early to help, staying late to help, thinking about another's needs. What can I do? If you're a man or woman of action, this might be you. Don't like talking. You know what? I love helping people. That's love. That's giving of self, but through action. You may even think this speaks a lot louder than words. You'd rather be helped by someone than spoken to positively. Okay, so is this in you? Just register that. Is this you? You know who you are. And on the other side, you know, do you feel the love when someone rolls up their sleeves, turns up to help? Okay, so this is just about insights into the how of agape love. Physical touch, hugging, touching, presence. Now, if there's something that I think all my culture bells were ringing, this is one. Americans, are there any Americans here this morning? Oh yes, okay. This is my experience. Okay, we'll talk about this later. East Coast Americans, yeah, it's a quite tactile, you know, hugs and a handshake. West Coast Americans, first meeting around my neck. You know, Californians, I've had this experience several times. Midwestern, good to meet you, pastor. 1 meter is close enough. Okay, so that's one big cultural block, but three, in my experience, quite different approaches to just connecting physically. And I could spot this at 50 meters when I was in the international scene. You could just see how people are wired. But we can have a lot of fun with this. So this is beyond sexual intimacy, but it's about touch, and it may be a hearty handshake is all you want. Or there may be times where you really appreciate an arm, just even someone standing close, and it may be in you to give. And it's fraught with all sorts of, awkwardnesses and anxieties, and oh, is this right? And could this be misinterpreted? Da 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 da. It's part of the human condition. But let's say when you get to the level of family or friendship, you know where you are. So, I know who I can hug, and I know who just might not be comfortable with that. So we don't go there. Personally, I'm a huggy guy. It's just part of me. Okay, so we've had words of affirmation, acts of service, physical touch, quality time. Time. Quality time. Being with someone. Really being with someone. So, no distractions, no sort of thinking about what I'm actually going to do tomorrow. No, just waiting for them to stop so you can say, oh, I've got to go now. No, you plant yourself there for them. And if this is in you, if this is a way you love someone, I don't, you may find yourself thinking, I really don't know what to do. Don't know what to say, but I'm going to be there. That's love. Now, the question is that appreciated? Most humans do. Most humans get it. Some don't, but it's a possibility being there. You think about the incarnation, God and Christ. Step one, turn up. Arrive. And then, but it's the quality too. It's the quality of presence. It's a profound thing. So is this in you to give? And do you appreciate it? And lastly, on this little list, there's giving and receiving gifts, tangible expressions of thoughtfulness. It's not the gift, it's not the object, the stuff, it's what it represents. That you're thinking, you're caring, it's a bit of you represented in this gift. Is that in you? Do you find yourself thinking, I'd really like to give something of me to so and so, and it may be the occasion of their birthday or some event, or it might just be, hey, thought of you today. Here's a bunch of flowers. So that's just a little short list of the hows. If you want to know more, go and read the book. But you've got to sort of decode it a bit from, couple land. It's not Ken and Barbie, but, it's pretty sweet. It can be quite muscular. It can be quite muscular. And we view it in Christ. You may find yourself thinking, well, something's missing. Are you thinking that? Are you thinking, actually, I show my love in some other way? Two things crossed my mind. One was praying for someone, and the other was hospitality, which could be time and giving as well. I also found myself thinking about the Mary Martha situation, which is another sermon, but two people who showed their love in different ways. And got frustrated with each other, right? Too much love in the house, and somehow these sisters were not sweet. So that's a bit on how. So we've done what? We've done how. Let's come back to why. Why? John, of course, has already addressed that. He relates to Christ. God is love. What more reason do you need? But let's dial it back a bit. If I get inside the head of the average punter, the average person, why don't you just do your own thing and play alongside other people? You know, that's the default. Doing your own thing and just kind of being polite and courteous, a bit like driving, you know, on the roads. We share the space and we're all doing our own thing and we want to set it at our own speed. And you know, don't be an idiot. Just share the road with other people and all will be well. That's a very kind of basic, low-level, you know, sort of approach. Don't annoy others and they won't annoy you. Your mother might have told you that. You know, many schools were run that way when I was teaching, sort of a benign law of the jungle. Just don't annoy people and they won't annoy you. I had a teacher used to say that, don't annoy us, me boys, and I won't annoy you. That's how he ran the classroom. But it's got some depth. Don't do to others what you would not have them do to you, which several religious traditions and faith traditions have that. It's not unique to anyone. The Buddhists have it, various other groups have it. But only Jesus swung it round in the positive. Only Jesus put that in the positive frame. Do to others what you would have them do to you. You know Jesus is unique in that? He is. The others all have it in the negative, but Jesus puts it in the positive. In other words, take the initiative. Do to others what you would have them do for you. In other words, love is positive. It flows. It's an action. It's a happening. It's a verb. Don't just avoid hurting people. That hardly registers. No. Love as you want to be loved. That's what Jesus modeled, and that's what he commanded his disciples, us, to do. The verse after our gospel reading today, which was about vineyards and abiding in the vine, the very verse after is this. As the Father has loved me, so I have agape loved you. Abide in my agape love. And again, six verses later, next screen, please. Yes. This is John's gospel now, John chapter 15. This is my commandment, that you agape love one another as I have agape loved you. So anyone who's a follower of Jesus, that answers any question. The boss says we're to love each other. But still, beyond simple obedience and way beyond kind of pragmatic, just how we can all get on with one another, it flows out of the heart loved by God. It's a spiritual outworking, an overflow, a giving forward in God's grace. That's its root. Not a rule, not a kind of social convention. It's something that just flows out of the essence of who we are. As a spiritual overflow, it may just happen. It may just happen. God's love flows like a river and we leak. What could be simpler? We see that in children. You see that in children. I love the way little dots just have a rush of blood to the head of affection or excitement for someone. They go out and pick a bunch of flowers or run up and hug my kneecaps or do something like that. Maybe that's what Jesus admired. It's just who they are, where they are in the moment. What could be simpler? If that were so, John wouldn't be writing this epistle, would he? Next screen, please. He wouldn't have had to begin. Beloved, love one another. What I take from that is for us adults actually requires a little bit of decision, some intentionality. We have to decide, which is a process of the heart. It's not an intellectual thing, it's a heart thing. It's a resolve going to. I'm disposed to this. Hence the sermon. Because I've been beating around the bush, haven't I? I've gone along, typical Francis thing, big circle around it, you know. Let's look at it from here and look at it from there, from top, bottom, all that sort of thing. So when we are with the church family, John is saying, be intentional about loving one another. Now, Paul would speak of this in building terms. Edify, upbuild. A term that's been around the last few decades, marketing and commerce-wise, is add value. And sort of this is how I understand it and try and live it, is you look at a person, you look at a situation, and you think, how can I bless that? How can give something that enhances, that builds, that blesses. So there's a little bit of thinking going on, a little bit of creativity, a little bit of imagination. And that's my take on what John is speaking into the church. Have this in your mind. Let your heart move in this way. Be intentional about loving one another. So, to finish, to come into land, this almost might sound like spiritual homework. Well, we'll just leave it to the prayers later in the service. You might begin with a bit of an audit. I've been asking this already in the sermon, but where are you in this? Where are you? What God asked Adam, wasn't it? Where are you? So, what did I do? At the end of the day, you might ask, how did I agape love someone today? Or you might say, this week. Where were the opportunities? What did I actually pick up and run with? When did I bring a kind word of encouragement or affirmation? When could I have? Just this is the learning process. This isn't about judgment. This is reviewing with an intent to move forward. When did I serve? Giving at cost. When might I serve? Where are the opportunities? Who did I see who needed a hug or kind presence? When could I offer quality time? Incidentally, it's not always for the lovely quality time. the unlovely need quality time too. Or when did I have something to give? Etc., etc. So, as John began, beloved, let us love one another.